Morning, we come to the final two descriptions of the people whom Jesus says are the happiest people on earth. Because they are in the most favorable position that a person could be in. And as we look at these final two descriptions this morning, I want to remind us that this is not just anyone who is saying this. This is God saying this. The one who has known every human being who has ever lived, including where everyone is now who has already died. This is the expert on human beings. The Bible says the Lord looks from heaven, He sees all the sons of men. From His dwelling place, He looks out on all the inhabitants of the earth. He who fashions the hearts of them all, who understands all their works. And it is this God who says that there are certain people who are the most blessed human beings that exist. And you know what? You may be surprised. As a matter of fact, you're going to be surprised because they're not who you think. God says the most blessed people, the happiest people that exist, who are in the most favorable position on earth, are first of all people who are poor in their spirit. Secondly, He says the happiest people on earth are people who mourn. Thirdly, He says they are people who are humble. They are gentle. Fourthly, God says the happiest people on earth are people who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Fifthly, God says the happiest people that exist are people who are merciful. And seventh, He said, they are described this way, they are pure in their heart. And now we come to Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9. And I want to see the seventh description of the eight that Jesus gives of the happiest, most blessed people who exist. Matthew 5 verse 9 says, Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Have you noticed how that as you become an adult, and the older that you get, you tend to demonstrate the mannerisms. If you're a son, you tend to demonstrate the mannerisms of your father. Maybe his facial expressions. Maybe the way he laughs or whatever. If you're a girl, you tend to do that with your mother. Every once in a while, it'll dawn on me sometimes, I'll say something or make a certain accent. I say, wow, that's what my dad does. And I've heard people say that as the older they get, they say, wow, I've become my dad or I've become my mom. Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. God is a peacemaker, and so are His children. How is God a peacemaker? The Bible says in this way, He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of His beloved Son. In whom we have redemption. In whom we have the word redemption means the deliverance, the forgiveness of our sins. Through Him, the Bible says, God has reconciled, He has brought to peace all things to Himself, having made peace by the blood of Jesus' cross. Although you were formerly, the Bible says, alienated, and you were hostile in your mind, and you were engaged in evil deeds, yet now He has reconciled you. He has brought you to peace with Himself through Jesus' fleshly body through death, so that He may present you to Him holy and blameless and beyond reproach. The Bible says, therefore, being justified, being made righteous by faith, we have peace with God through Jesus Christ. How is it that God makes peace with human beings? He makes peace through Jesus' work on the cross. So that He is able to take the hostility that I had towards Him in my mind because I was given over to rebellion and to commit sins. And because of my hostility towards Him, His wrath towards me, we're not at peace. God and I are not at peace, but God made peace by Jesus on the cross, and by His blood, He can deal with my sins and forgive me and bring me to peace with Him. God is a peacemaker. The Bible says of Jesus one day in the book in the Old Testament said, "For unto us a child will be born, a son will be given to us, and the government will rest on His shoulders, and His name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace." The ultimate peacemaker in the world is God. And Jesus said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." They're just like their Father. They're just like Him. How are reconciled people, people that God has made brought to peace with Him by Jesus' sacrifice on the cross for our sins? Now that we have been brought to peace with God, how are we peacemakers? Well, there are several ways, and I want to describe them to you. The Bible says the first way is this. Now all these things are from God, who has reconciled us to Himself. Again, the word reconcile means He's brought us to peace. He's taken away the thing that separated us and brought us to peace. He has reconciled us to Himself through Christ, through Jesus, the Messiah. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Everyone that God has reconciled to Himself by faith in Jesus, He has given to us this ministry of reconciliation. Namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not counting their trespasses, not counting their sins against Him. And to them, and to us, He has given this word of reconciliation. Therefore, the Bible says, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were making an appeal through us, be reconciled to Christ. That's the message that Christians have now. Those who have been reconciled, we become peacemakers because now we're appealing, God is appealing through us that we would be reconciled to Jesus. He made Him, Jesus, to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made righteous in Him. So how do those who have been reconciled become peacemakers? You know what we do? We go and preach the message of reconciliation to our fellow human beings. We say you can be brought to peace. The thing that down deep in your heart that is driving you to the alcohol because you want to forget about your problems. The reason why you're down here on the street buying prescription medication to try to medicate your guilt away. Or the reason why you avoid your family, you stay buried inside your house because you don't want to face your past. Or the reason why you lay awake night after night after night, you're all stressed out. The thing that you need is peace, and there's only one person who is the Prince of Peace. His name is Jesus. And we say to our friends and we preach to ourselves, reconciliation and peace come in the heart through Jesus alone. The Bible says, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of those who bring good news, who announce peace and bring good news of happiness, who announce salvation and say in Zion, your God reigns. Blessed are the peacemakers. They are the sons of God. You know how else people that have been reconciled are peacemakers in this way? They, in the way they live their lives, they pursue peace in all their relationships. You know, the Bible says one of the clear works that you are dominated by the flesh and that you are not a child of God is that your life is characterized by strife. The Bible says, now the deeds of the flesh are evident. If you want to see a person that's dominated by the flesh, here's the characteristics. The Bible says immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. They practice witchcraft. And then it says enmities, which is hatred, and strife. People that are always combating with one another. People that are at discord with each other. Jealousy, the Bible says. Outburst of anger. Screaming and yelling and throwing things around. Disputes, factions, dissensions, envying, drunkenness, carousing, these wild parties, and things like these, of which I forewarn you, just as I have forewarned you, the Bible says, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Because it's clear that the flesh dominates them. And one of the signs the flesh dominates you is that you are a combative, striving type of person. The Bible also says in the last days there are going to be people who come who have a form of godliness but deny its power. And one of their characteristics is this: they are irreconcilable. They hold bitternesses in their families, at their workplace. They may even attend churches. And they can't get along with people. And they will not be at peace. And they will not forgive them. And they gossip and slander and hold grudges. The Bible says this is a person who has a form of godliness but does not know its power. And one of the ways you know is they are irreconcilable. Matter of fact, I want you to pause, and I want to go to one of the great wisdom book of the Bible where the Holy Spirit, God, has given us so much wisdom with how to live life. The skill of living wisely. It's the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. So save your place in Matthew and go right in the middle of the Old Testament. Psalm is the largest book of the Old Testament, and right after Psalm is Proverbs. And I want to look at just several verses here, what the Bible has to say about strife. Look at Proverbs 1, chapter 16, and verse 27. Proverbs 16, and verse 27. God says this in Proverbs 16, and verse 27. A worthless man digs up evil, while his words are like scorching fire. A perverse man spreads strife, and a slanderer separates intimate friends. The Bible says you want to see a worthless person. A person who does not belong is a person who goes around digging up evil and whispering to people and slandering about other people and spreading strife. The Bible says that man is a perverse man. Look at Proverbs 17 and verse 9, the beginning of the verse. Verse 19. He who loves transgression loves strife. A person who loves sin, they love to be combative, argumentative, etc. That's a person who loves sin, the Bible says. Look at Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 6. What kind of person brings strife? The Bible says a fool's lips bring strife, and his mouth calls for blows. You know what kind of person the Bible says is a person that brings strife with his mouth? He's a fool. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 9. Look at Proverbs 21 and verse 9. It is so bad to live with a person who causes strife. Look what the Bible says in Proverbs 21 verse 9. It is better to live in a corner of a roof than in a house shared with a contentious woman. Better, the Bible says, find yourself a spot on the roof here and live there than live in a house with a woman who causes strife. Look at verse 19 of the same chapter. He goes on to say this: it is better to live in a desert land than with a contentious and vexing woman. That's how bad it is. Look at Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 28. Proverbs 25 and verse 28. You see, here's the problem with a person who causes strife. You know what it is? Proverbs 25, 28. Like a city that is broken into and without walls is a man who has no control over his spirit. If you were to have an ancient city that's surrounded by walls protecting it, and now there are no walls there, and so any enemy can come in there and destroy it and burn it down and steal, the Bible says, picture that in your mind. It's a town that has no walls protecting it. Let's say if we had no hurricane barrier here in Providence, like they used not to have, and a serious hurricane came through and killed a lot of people back in the 1950s and 1930s. But now there's a barrier there. The Bible says, you see a city that has no walls? That's a person who has no control over his spirit. You know what happens when a person has no control over their spirit? They're bound to do anything. This is not God's will. Proverbs 26, verses 20 and 21. Look at this. Proverbs 26, 20 and 21. For lack of wood, the fire goes out, and where there is no whisperer, contention quiets down. Where you have no one gossiping and telling everybody, you hear what they said or he said or she said, contention stops. Verse 21, like charcoal to hot embers and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. You see a guy that is a contentious, combative, arrogant, unforgiving spirit, he's like a piece of wood. You put it near fire, boom, it goes up. That's how he is. Look at chapter 27, verse 15 and 16. 27, verse 15 and 16. I thought about this yesterday as it was pouring rain. The Bible says, a constant dripping on a day of steady rain and a contentious woman are alike. He who would restrain her restrains the wind. You ever try to hold back the wind? Can't do it. And the Bible says, and grasp oil with his right hand. I've never tried to grab oil, but I don't think he'd be very good at it. The Bible says you try to restrain a contentious person. Look at chapter 28, verse 25. What kind of person is a person that stirs up strife? The Bible says in the beginning of verse 25, an arrogant man stirs up strife. And finally, look at chapter 29, verse 22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a hot-tempered man abounds in transgression. The Bible says that you and I should not be eager to be angry in our heart, because anger resides in the bosom of fools. One of the clear works that you are not a child of God is that you are dominated. One of the chief characteristics of your life is strife, anger, irreconcilableness. However, Jesus says, blessed are the peacemakers. You know why? Because peace is a work of God's Spirit in your life. The Bible says in the New Testament, now if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of your body, whatever they may be, drugs and dominated by alcohol or nicotine or profanity or immorality or strife or bitterness or anger, by God's Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For the Bible says, as many as are led, they are ruled, they are guided, they are directed, they are controlled by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. That's how you know the sons of God, because God's Spirit is controlling them. Not their anger, not their alcohol, not their immorality, not their... The ones controlled by God's Spirit, they're the sons of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12 and verse 18, if it is possible, so much as it depends on you, be at peace with all men. So those that have been reconciled to God, have been brought to peace with Him, the Bible says the way that we live our lives now, as much as it depends on us, we seek to be at peace with people. So there may be a person that where I work who is filled with strife because they're dominated by the flesh. They don't know God's Spirit. And they're always trying to instigate things. They're always trying to start things. Or maybe you have a family member like this. You might be facing them in 1 hour when you go to sit down to dinner. Scripture says, as much as it depends on you, as far as it depends on you, or you're part of it, you're striving for peace. That's what you want. The Bible says in Romans chapter 14 that sometimes even Christian people can debate about certain issues. They think, well, maybe, you know, this is the right way to do this or the wrong way to do this. And the Bible says, hey, the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking. It's not debating about what things can I eat, what things can I drink. But it is in righteousness, in joy, and peace. That's the kingdom of God. For he that in this way serves Christ is approved by God and accepted by men. So then we pursue peace with one another, the things that make for peace with one another and the building up of one another. That's what Christians pursue. They're not interested in debating with one another about debatable issues. What they're concerned about is righteousness and love and peace. That's what they're concerned about. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 4, therefore I implore you as the prisoner of the Lord to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the bond of peace, the bond of unity, which is peace. And then he goes on to say in Ephesians 4 verse 26, and be angry, yet do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger, and do not give the devil opportunity. The Bible says, as Christian people, because now you've been brought to peace with God, you possess Jesus, you possess peace. So behave in peace. When you get angry, and as John talked about this morning, there will be times when it is a truly righteous anger at things that are wrong. What you do not do as a Christian now, how is it that you make peace? Here's one way. You don't let the day go down with you still stewing with what you're angry about. You deal with it then. One of the things that my parents did with us boys, and I'm so glad they did, every single time me and my four brothers would get in a fight, we're yelling and mad at each other, and Dad brings us downstairs and delivers out what he felt was a just punishment. And I look at my little brother who had his smart little tongue wagging at me a few minutes ago, and I want to get him, man. Because I don't think my dad gave him enough justice. But you know what happened so many times? Every time we were boys. My brothers, my three younger brothers lived in one room across the hall. Me and my older brother lived on this side. And mom or my dad, whoever disciplined us, they would send us to our room. And then a few minutes later, they'd make us come meet halfway in the hallway. And they'd say, okay, now Teddy, I want you to hug your brother. He's going to hug you, and I want you guys to say that you love each other. Boy, that was tough. But you know, it was good. Because they were not going to allow us to let that anger stew. The Bible says to Christians, be kind to one another. First, he says, let all bitterness, that's anger that you hang on to and you let fester. You're mad at someone in your family. You're mad at someone in the church. You're mad at somewhere else. And it's anger that you've let stay, that's gone down. The day's gone down, and it's still there. Let all bitterness and wrath, that's anger that's out of control, and anger and clamor, that's the kind of anger that's throwing stuff around, and slander, be put away from you. With all malice. This is anger that has a desire. I am so angry at you, I want to injure you. The Bible says all that is he put away from you. And be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ also forgave you. This is how Christians are peacemakers. This is how they deal when anger comes. You know what? God gave us what we needed, not what we earned. When God sent Jesus to die on the cross to reconcile me to Him, the Bible says I was in a state of hostility towards Him. I was being unkind to Him. God did not give me what I had earned by sending Jesus. He gave me what I needed. And there may be people in your life, you say, you know what, but you don't understand how mean and unkind they are to me. And they provoke me. The Bible says, be kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, releasing it, letting it go, just as God also in Christ forgave you. We do just like what God did with us. He gave us what we needed, not what we earned. By the way, I'm going to give you a few more references, and you listen to how important peace is to God. Peace is a fundamental part of God's character, and it's absolutely important to Him that His children be peacemakers. The Bible says in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 13, bearing with one another and forgiving each other, if anyone has a complaint against anyone, just as God in Christ forgave you. Beyond all these things, put on love, which is the perfect bond of unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called as one body, and be thankful. You know what you would, the day that you understood that you your sin had separated you from God, and that God has provided Jesus to die on the cross to take your sins, to wash them away, and you put your faith in Jesus, the Bible says you are reconciled. You are made His child. And the Bible says, and when that you were called together, all of you have been reconciled, you have all been called to peace, to be a peacemaker like God. The Bible says that what you do is, when you have a situation with you and another person, and you know that these differences threaten, you guys have a disagreement about things, what do? The person that decides and settles this argument is the peace of Christ. It's like, you know, right now when sports athletes, when the season gets done and their contract is up, sometimes they go to an arbitrator. They go to arbitration, they say. And the athlete goes before the lawyer and says, all right, for the past 5 years, I've hit this many home runs, and I've hit this many RBIs, and they've sold this many of my T-shirts. I think I'm worth this much money to my team here. And the team goes to the arbitrator and says, well, yeah, but he hit a lot of double plays, and he struck out and made this many errors, and he could have been worth a lot more, so we think he's worth $1 million, and the player says he's worth $3 million. And so the arbitrator, the guy who's listening to both cases, he makes the decision. You're worth $2.2 million. The Bible says, as a Christian, when you have a complaint against anyone, and there are differences that threaten to take away your peace, what you do is you go to the arbitrator, the peace of Christ, and that rules in your heart. You submit the decision. You settle it. He settles it. I enjoy being an umpire. That's one of the things I do. I'm a baseball umpire, and I referee a few other sports. And last year, I umpire in a baseball league in which some former Major League Baseball players play. And last year I was at the game and I was behind home plate, and one of the guys who used to pitch for the Boston Red Sox, I mean, I watched him when I was a kid, I couldn't believe it, he was on the mound. And he's zinging these balls in there, and I'm behind the plate, I'm calling whether ball or strike, you know. And there was one point where one of the batters that was up went to bunt the ball, okay, and when he did, as an umpire, you have to make a decision, did he go halfway with the bat or not halfway? I said he didn't go halfway. Well, that pitcher who had been in the World Series, who had been in front of millions of people, he comes to argue with me. I'm like, wow, this is cool, you know. I mean, here's this guy. I mean, amazing. And all these guys, the batter, the pitcher, the coach, they're all looking. And only, there's one reason why, because I was wearing a uniform. And they let me make the decision. And so you know what we do as Christians? This happens, right? When we're going to have differences and arguments, or we find in our heart that anger is mounting up, what we do is we say, above all, we want peace. That's what I want. And so this matter can be settled, because you know what? It's not, I want peace above that. The Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says, "First, I urge you first of all that entreaties and prayers and petitions and thanksgivings be made for all men, for all kings and all who are in authority, so that we may lead a tranquil and quiet life in all godliness and honesty and dignity." The Bible says it's God's will, His desire for us is that we live a life of peace. That's His will. The Bible says we are to flee from youthful lust and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace with those who call on the Lord out of a pure heart. The Bible says in Hebrews 12, verse 14, "Pursue peace with all men and the sanctification without which no one will see the Lord." Hey, I want to ask you this morning, is there a war going on in you? Is there a war going on in your neighborhood right now? Is there a war going on in your family? Is there a war going on in your workplace? The Bible says there's someone that God's put there that's a peacemaker. You know who it is? You. You. You're the Son of God. You're just like Him. Bible says every one of us is to be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. I remember some of my early days as youth pastor, I said, man, that's the stuff I did. I was crazy. About 2 years into youth pastor, when I was a youth pastor, we used to have a lot of kids come to youth group, and this one kid came, and he was a punk, man. He was always messing around, always up to no good. And there are times, you know, when I think of my nature was, I'm going to force you to be what you ought to be. Mano, mano. You want to be tough? I'll be tough. Well, the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. Listen, kid, you will be good. Okay, Mom. Bible says the spirit of a peacemaker is that they're slow to speak and quick to hear and slow to anger, because they know that their anger does not achieve the righteousness of God. And that's why even as we engage a world that's dominated by the flesh, it does not help them for people who are supposed to be peacemakers who walk out and you're angry with them and call them every name under the sun. Your anger will not achieve the righteousness of God. The Bible says, "Who is wise and understanding among you? Let him show by his good behavior his deeds in the gentleness of wisdom." But, the Bible says, if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition are, there is disorder and every evil thing, the Bible says. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering and without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. I ask you this morning, is your home a peaceful place? Or is it a place of anger and strife and screaming and yelling? You hear people joke sometimes, you know, about the people that are, you know, they're screaming and yelling and all around the house, all of a sudden the phone rings. Hello? Yeah. Lord bless you. You know. Or they're driving here in the car and they're not speaking to each other. They're mad, all that kind of stuff. They walk in the church. Oh, Lord, we love you. Oh, dear brother, good to see you today. No, no. Hey, how do you make peace? I want to go back to Proverbs and show you six ways the Bible says that a person practically makes peace. Go back to Proverbs again, and I want to show you a few references. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 12. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. The scripture says, "Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all transgression." And then look at chapter 19 and verse 11. Then I'm going to give you this first way the proverb says. Proverbs 19 verse 11. "A man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it is his glory to overlook a transgression." What does the Holy Spirit say? How does a person, what is one of the ways that you be a peacemaker? And one of the ways is this: you forgive transgression. A person does wrong to you. A person offends you. One of the ways that you be a peacemaker is, first of all, you forgive. You don't hold it against. Second way, Proverbs says in 13, verse 10. Look at Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 10. "Through insolence," the word insolence means disrespectfulness, rudeness, "comes nothing but strife. But wisdom is with those who receive counsel." You know what causes strife in relationships? When someone feels like the other person is not respecting them. They're just being rude. However, the Bible says, you know what? If a person, instead of that, listens, that's wise. So how's the second way that we are peacemakers? Number one, when we are offended and people transgress against us, instead of harboring that, we choose to forgive. And number two, we listen. Instead of disrespecting and being rude to what they're trying to say. By the way, that's what happens a lot of times with parents and their kids, right? There's strife between them because the kid is being disrespectful or rude. They're not listening. The Bible says it's only through this that comes strife. Strife comes with this kind of attitude. But if you listen, there's wisdom. Third, look at Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 1. What does the Holy Spirit say? Practically, how do we make peace? Proverbs 15:1 says, "A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger." The third way that we make peace is this: we respond with gentleness. We forgive transgression, we listen, and we respond with gentleness. The other night I was at my new job as a concierge, and one of my things to do is, people where I live, they get packages that get mailed to the building or whatever, one of the buildings, and I hold them and give it to them. Well, this one guy had come in early in the evening, and he had a large box. I don't know who it was from, but it was for him, and he said, "Can I come and get it later on tonight?" I said, "Sure." Matter of fact, Iris was there, her and I both were there at that time. Well, he was gone for several hours. Well, about 3 hours later, a girl walks in who lives in the building, and she said, "You know, I have two boxes here," and she said, "I think they're both of those right back there." And so I go back there, and I said, "Okay, what's your name? Where do you live?" And sure enough, her name was in there. So I gave her the first box, and I just, without checking the second box, I gave her both boxes, because she said, "I think they're both those two boxes," and the box on top was her name. What I did know is I gave her that guy's box underneath. So she takes them, and she's gone. Well, about an hour or so later, here he comes down to the desk and says, "Hey, can I get my box?" I said, "Sure." "Oh, it's not there." "All right." And he was ticked instantly. And I said, here's what I know where it is. It's in this room." He says, "I'm not going there." Well, immediately, I don't like that. I don't like that. You know.
You're human.
Right, exactly. I don't like that. But God helped me in that moment to respond with gentleness. And I said, "Hey, let me tell you, all right, here's what, you don't need to get it. I'll go. I'll ask her." And it worked out fine. We got the box. It came down. And yesterday night, I saw him again. We were best buds. I mean, we're just, "Hey, man, good to see you." But I'm so glad at that moment that God in His grace helped me to make peace, to respond with gentleness and not to say, "Okay, yeah, you wanna?" What's the fourth thing the Bible says? Look at Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 32. He who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who captures a city. And look at chapter 29, verse 11. We'll tell you what this fourth thing is. Proverbs 29, verse 11. A fool always loses his temper, but a wise man holds it back. The fourth way that we make peace is this. By God's grace, remember we heard early in the New Testament, by His Spirit, we rule our spirit. We forgive transgression, we listen, we respond with gentleness, and with His strength, we rule our spirit. Instead of our spirit ruling us, I can't help it. That makes me mad. I've always grown up this way. I'm Irish. I'm redhead. Whatever. No. The Bible says, by God's grace, bring your spirit under control. And with His grace, you can. That's why Jesus died on the cross. To break the power that sin had over your heart. Okay? And now because you have Christ, you have that peace. Let that peace be the arbitrator. Let that peace settle what you're feeling. Fifthly, Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 14. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 14. The beginning of strife is like letting out water, so abandon the quarrel before it breaks out. And look at chapter 20 and verse 3. Keeping away from strife is an honor for a man, but any fool will quarrel. What's the fifth way that you by God's grace, you make peace? Abandon the quarrel early. You hear it beginning, you know where it's going. You know this co-worker, you know your parents, you know your brother and sister, you know how it goes. You know what's being said, you know what's about ready to be said, because everybody knows how to push everybody's buttons, right? Bible says if you're a peacemaker, what you do is you see it coming and you abandon it right away, very early, before it gets there. Because why? Because you are a peacemaker. That's why. And the sixth way that the Holy Spirit tells us in Proverbs is in chapter 17 and verse 27. Proverbs 17, verse 27. He who restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. What's the sixth way that you make peace? Restrain your words. So God has inspired how we deal with strife and avoid it as peacemakers. What do? We forgive transgression instead of harboring it. We listen instead of disrespecting the other person. We respond with gentleness. By God's strength, we bring our spirit under control. We abandon the quarrel early, and we restrain our words. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. And why are they in the most happy position on earth? Why? Because they are called the sons of God. Next Sunday, we'll pick up to our final description on Sunday, a week from now. But this morning, I want you to, all of us, to yield to God's Spirit. And this morning, if you say, you know, the flesh has dominated me, and I've never been brought to peace with God. I've never accepted the reconciliation that God has provided in Jesus, and I realize that I've offended God, and I've been hostile to God by my deeds. But this morning I am so thankful that God is a peacemaker, that God has made peace with me by the blood of Jesus' cross. And today I want to enter into that relationship. I want to accept that reconciliation. I want to trust Jesus as my Messiah, as my Savior. If that's you, then I simply say the Bible says if you are in that position, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. With your mouth, confess that Jesus is Lord, and in your heart, believe that God has raised him from the dead. And the Bible says, you'll be saved. This is the confidence that if we ask him anything according to his will, he hears us. And we know that if he hears us in whatever we ask, we have the petitions that we have asked of him. Ask him to save you. In a minute, we're going to bow our heads. And when we pray right there in your seat, you can ask Jesus to save you. Confess to God your sin. Believe on Jesus as Lord and Savior. And the Bible says, whoever will call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This morning, right now, you can be made at peace with God. And then I want to say this to anyone here this morning that has become a son of God. You say, you know what? I've not been walking worthy of that calling. But this morning I confess my sins. He is faithful and righteous to forgive your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And I come back to you, Lord, once again, and I need your strength and grace to be a peacemaker, to preach to my friends the word of reconciliation, and in my life, to pursue peace. Let's pray. Lord, I pray now for anyone here among us who has never been brought to peace with you. They have never been made your son. I pray that right now, in their heart, they will call on you as Savior. And then I pray, Lord, for all those of us who have been reconciled to you, that our lives will be the life of a true disciple. How blessed are the true disciples of Jesus. And one of the things you said about them is they are peacemakers. They're just like you. May that be us in our lives, we pray. Amen.